Welcome to the 190th episode of the Reading and Writing Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Rutherford. Stay tuned for my interview with Thomas Rydell, the author of the Danish crime thriller, The Hermit. Stay tuned for the interview. Welcome back to the Reading and Writing Podcast. My guest today is Thomas Rydell, the author of the Danish crime novel, The Hermit. Thomas, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much, Jeff.
Sure. Well, if someone listening hasn't heard about your novel, The Hermit, yet, how would you describe your novel?
Well, they probably haven't heard about The Hermit yet, since it just came out in Denmark and it hasn't been translated into English as of yet. But how I would describe it is, I actually didn't know to begin with that it was a crime novel, but apparently the reviews I'm getting here is that it's a literary thriller. So that's what the reviewers have said. But it's a literary thriller, and it takes place in a Spanish island called Fuerteventura. It's just west of Africa. And I have my Danish protagonist. He's an older Danish guy. He's about 70. He fled Denmark. He fled his family, and he went to this deserted island. It's not completely deserted, but it's kind of how would I describe it? It's not the most popular of the Grand Canarian Islands, I would say.
Sure.
So he fled there 18 years ago, and he's been living there as a hermit, basically, and also recently a taxi driver and piano tuner. So that's his life, and then. He encounters in this sort of this crime mystery where a 3 month old kid has been found in a box on the backseat of a car, and because there is the kid is lying inside of this box where there's pieces of Danish newspaper lying inside the box, and so the police asks this guy who is a Danish native for help in translating the Danish stumps from the newspaper. And then that sort of is the beginning of him being dragged into this mystery. And the police really don't want to solve this crime because they're afraid of having, if you heard about this Madeleine case where a young kid was lost, it was a huge drama in Europe a few years ago. Mm-hmm. And so they don't want that kind of drama on the island because it's a tourist island. So they sort of close the case down. But my 70-year-old hermit is very he's very offended by the whole case and the police not wanting to pick it up. So he starts to investigate the case on his own. So that's the story. But it's also a story about my main character Erhard Jørgensen and his sort of return to life because he's been living this solitary life not really getting out there and being with people and experiencing love or anything. So this mystery sort of drags him back into life.
Great. Well, do you remember the initial idea that you had that prompted you to start writing The Hermit?
Yes, very clearly, because I was on vacation holiday with my family, and we were doing some grocery shopping. And then there was a bit of a haul from the grocery store to my hotel, so I jumped in a cab. And then when I got back to the hotel, the cab driver helped me get my groceries, and I saw he had a guitar lying in the back of the trunk. And I was like, "Whoa! What do I even know about this man?" And I was only there in the car with him for a few minutes, but maybe there's a lot more to him than just, this cab driver. And that gave me actually most of the beginning idea of my main character as this person that has an appearance, and then there's a lot of stuff going on behind.
Great. Well, once you finished writing The Hermit, how was the process for you of finding a publisher to publish the novel?
For one thing, I'm 40 years old now, and I've been going to the Royal Danish Writing Academy 20 years ago. So I've been writing for many years, and I've been you know, finishing manuscripts and going to publishers. But they mostly had the same answer, which was, what kind of genre is this? Is it sci-fi? Is it, you know, contemporary fiction? Is it thriller? And normally I couldn't really answer them. And so I've had some very good but also very tough feedback from the publishers here. Some of them said like, we love the way you write, but we just wish you wrote something different, which was, I didn't really know what to do about it. So what eventually happened for most of the, I mean, like three or four scripts is I wanted to sort of, you know, go back to the script and work even more, but I sort of, you know, sort of like the energy of, you know, just left the project in some way. And I started to look at my other, you know, have a lots of other ideas. So I never really, think I put it out there for real with the publisher and really went in there and started working with the script. So this was the first time I actually had a finished script where I knew it was more in one genre than another, so to speak. And I knew this was probably something completely different for the publishers to get a grasp of. So what I did actually, because I don't know how it is in the States, but I know you have a lot of agents, you know, working in between the publishers and in between the right. writer and the publishers. But in Denmark, it's more common for the writers to go directly to the publishers, and there's a sort of a concept or like a morale about that it's not, you shouldn't go to, you know, more publisher at one time. You should only, you know, go to them one at a time. But I had an idea that, you know, those days are over. Now it's the sort of the era of the writer. So I said, okay, I'm just sending it out to, you know, multiple publishers. So I selected a few of them and I sent it out, and I got a really fast answer from one of them that just said, we're not interested in that type of literature, which was quite, I mean, like, I was a bit surprised about the speed that they, I was like, did they even read it? And I'm not sure if they did, but the two major publishers that I was hoping for, it was one large publisher and one small publisher. I was hoping for those two, and the small publisher came back, not as fast as the first one, but almost as fast, and they were just thrilled and really happy about it. And then I said, okay, maybe it sounds really great. Awaiting the big publisher to get back to me, and then I'll take it from there on. And they didn't really get back to me until I just decided on my own to go with the small publisher, because they had so many ideas. It was much more of a sort of a corporation type deal, where you know, they were eager to put in my ideas, and they had lots of great social media ideas and just digital ideas for the book, even though they wanted to put it out mostly in print. Mm-hmm. But they had a lot of ideas about, you know, reaching out bloggers and making sorts of, you know, different small campaigns for the book and stuff like that. And then when I actually had decided on going with the small publisher, then eventually I got the answer from the big publisher, and they were like, yeah, we really want to, you know, speak to you about this book. And I said, well, I'm sorry, I already chose my publisher. So it was actually a really different experience for me compared to the other experiences I had with putting out the manuscript.
Great. Well, are you planning to write more novels about your character, Erhard?
I definitely am. I mean, what I experienced when I started sort of planning the book, I got a lot of different ideas about this setting, the island, and the history of the island, and my character's development. And I actually decided on telling the sort of the most simple story first. So it's more like an origin story or something like that.
Origin?
Yes. But also a story in itself, not something, you know, and then just take it from there on. If I wanted to come back to the scene and the environment and to Erhard, then maybe I would do that for book two or maybe book three. And then I started to actually pile different ideas in book two and book three. So without having it like set on that I wanted to write three books, I started planning for three books. And as soon as I actually finished the first one, which is out now, I felt like going back to Erhard and to the island, because I had some other stories that I wanted to tell about him and his development as a person.
That's great. Well, given your years of writing and now with your success of The Hermit, what advice would you have for someone who might be listening, who is an aspiring writer and would want to have their own novels or stories published one day?
Yeah, that's a good one. I also just want to put in a lot of thanks to you, because I think actually through the years writing, then listening to your show has been a huge inspiration for me and something to sort of go back to and listen to your great conversations.
Oh, thank you.
So I'm really I'm really, you know, thankful to be able to maybe give some of my advice to, you know, aspiring writers. But I've been thinking about this because I also wrote a blog post in Danish, of course, just recently about this. The first thing for me is for you to stop listening to your inner critic. And so in my case, I had like a famous Danish editor from a literary magazine, and I had his name and his way of giving criticism in my sort of in my head when I was writing. And I found out at an early point that that didn't really work to, you know, continue to think about what he would say about what I was doing. So, but he's just the voice of my inner criticism. And I think it's really, really important for someone writing to get past that, not to maybe have the voices be totally quiet, but just to say, yeah, whatever, when you hear the inner critic, and then continue doing your writing. And not be so caught up in the what, how will other people perceive this, or what do I think about this? Just to, you know, put it out there and keep on writing. And then the second thing I think is to be really bold about putting your own time in. So it's really about, if your main job is not being a writer, then maybe you have other jobs, and then it's really important for you to put the time in there. And also, if you like I do have a family and stuff like that, then it could be a quite a challenge to get those hours in there and get the pages done. But to have it work, I think you have to be really bold about it and say to your family and maybe your friends, say, this is what's important to me, and that's, you know, I have to put in these hours, and then stick to the plan that you put up, but also make it a realistic plan is another thing, because if you want to write, you know, for 5 hours every day, and you also have work and you also have kids and a dog and stuff like that, then it's probably not that realistic. So to have a realistic plan and stick to it, even though your wife says, you know, oh, I thought we were going to do this, then you have to say, you know, yeah, I'd love to do that, but not right now. It's very important for me to do this. That helped me a lot to be so bold about it.
That's great advice. Well, what writers or books do you enjoy reading?
I mean, my favorite writers are people like Paul Auster, Dostoevsky, Murakami, if you know him, as a Japanese writer that mm-hmm. I love a lot. And actually, my background is a lot in more in literary genres, sure. Not so much the crime and thrillers, mm-hmm. but having sort of accidentally stumbled into the thriller maybe genre, then I've been reading a lot of that, and I think there's a lot of great people out there doing great stuff. But I have to, of course, mention my childhood hero, Stephen King. And the fun part is, I actually, during this writing this book, I actually sort of felt a return to my admiration for Stephen King and his love for characters, which I share a whole lot. He's been a great influence for me, but not in the recent years where I've been reading more. Less plot driven writers like Auster and Murakami.
Sure. Well, if someone is listening to this interview and would like to learn more about you, where could they find you online? And I can also provide a link in the show notes as well. But what's the best way for them to find you?
Well, I mean, the best maybe for English speaking people, it's the best place is to find me on Twitter, which is Tom Dahl, Thomdahl. That's my Twitter handle there. And if you are not afraid to maybe Google Translate a bit, then you can go to my Danish author website, which is my name.com, thomasreidel.com. And you can see my a picture of me and my book and right. read a bit about that. I have a plan because I'm coming out in Holland, France, Spain pretty soon next year, I think. And so I need to have more of an international presence. So I think in the within too long, I'll also have an English at least website coming up.
Right. And before we started the interview, we were talking and you had said that there is the possibility of an English translation, you know, maybe next year, or an English publishing deal.
My agents are working to get a deal with an English, maybe American publisher, and they're still in the negotiations with a few people there, and I'm looking so much forward to it. That's like my childhood dream, is to come out in the States.
Great. Well, I'll have links to those websites and your Twitter handle that you mentioned in the show notes, so people can check that out. And again, we've been speaking with Thomas Reidel, author of the Danish crime novel, The Hermit. Thomas, thanks for doing this interview.
Thank you very much for letting me be here and share my thoughts and listen to what I have to say.
Great.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.